Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
I don't think that's accurate, but if that's what most people believe, then
it's every other week.
I definitely think it's ambiguous.
Every other week.
Okay, done, produced, or occurring every 2 weeks or twice a week.
Exactly.
So it's both. Okay. That's confusing.
I think if you say fortnightly, people are going to be like, what? Well, what era are we in?
That's we'll why say we need every it. But other.
It, once you know, you're not confused.
Fortnight.
Welcome back to the Catholic Arsonist, people.
Jumping right in.
Where have you all been?
Where have you been?
Where have y'all been?
We've been here.
Yeah.
Left for a little bit. Went on a retreat. Then we podcasted, though.
Yeah, we got one in those, like, that 3-day period where you were still here.
Then you left us.
And then I left. But I'm back for more. Feeling rejuvenated, excited. Yeah.
Tell us where you went. Tell us what you did. Well, we know, but tell the folks. Anything you want to share, Father?
Anything. I went to Texas A&M to visit. First of all, went to Austin, saw a few priest friends there, and then I was staying with one of my buddies at Texas A&M. Their campus ministry there, St. Mary's, and A&M has about 71,000 students at it. They want to be at 75 by 2025, which I'm pretty convinced they'll get to. The campus ministry program there is amazing. A lot of things going on. Like every day I was making my holy hour, and they have a little chapel. There's like at least 20 students in there at any given time, like adoring the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. All of their daily masses had at least 250 students at it. They had an event on a Thursday night. Speaker with Adoration to Follow. There's 750 students there. And they're building a new church, $30 million church at Texas A&M's campus, which is going to look awesome.
That's some good news these days.
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh. They poured the concrete slab when I was there. 73 concrete trucks. It took them 10 hours. Just amazing. And we wanted to do a slab party, which I had never heard those two words.
Did you stick your hand
married in? Together. No, definitely not. No. But it was like a big old slab, and they were going to have mass and then a party afterwards. And
that's college, man.
They probably were going to do it next week, maybe. But at that time, it was too fresh, and they wanted to test the concrete to make sure it settled correctly. So I missed the slab party.
What, they were just going to celebrate mass on the slab of concrete?
On the slab.
And then just like hang out?
Oh, yeah. But it's cool. It's cool. Because that church is going to be beautiful when it's finally built up. So they're putting all these steel beams or iron beams in starting in December. Yeah, it's just really incredible. So they have three priests who are there at the campus. One of them is my buddy. Father Chris Smith, and we had a great time together, got to know some of the students, and funnily enough, ran into mutual friends of Alyssa and me from Mizzou, and it was cool to hang out with them. So, and then I jet settled in Florida for a few days and golfed, and then came back, which was great.
Word on the street with that church being built is that... And the kind of ceiling that's going to be constructed, it's going to be beautiful inside, all the photos I've seen. But there are stars in the ceiling, like similar to the ones at the seminary, where there's going to be stars either painted or like some sort of mosaic on the ceiling. And if you donate $1 million, your family's name can be written in one of the stars.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, really? That's what McKenna told me.
Really?
Yeah, former student there. But
$1 million seems like a lot. I don't know if they've had a lot of... It's a $30 million church. I don't think they've had hardly any true million-dollar donors, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be cool. Your names were written in the stars.
Yeah. I'll be sure to get one in there.
There you go.
Yeah, we had a good time. Went to the football game. Got to bless the field before the football game. It was sweet. I missed you guys.
I missed you, too.
After you did an eye roll.
I missed you. I did.
He said to me yesterday, "How's it been? The fun was gone for 24 days." And I was like, "Yeah, because Shane and I aren't fun." Oh, man. No, in all seriousness, though, like, I'm sure the parishioners feel this too. It's like he and Father Yates were sort of like flip-flopping for a little while there, like who was here and who was gone. And then this vacation stint was a little bit longer. And it's like, you can feel it when dad's away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, definitely.
Whichever dad it is. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're just different.
We'll be around for a while.
Glad to hear that.
Woo-woo.
What we're going to be talking about today a little bit is something that I've been thinking about a lot in even like the past year. And it came up kind of on my retreat, which was in October, which is another 8-day stint that I was gone. however, all things being equal, a year ago, it came up a lot because I think like there's just a lot going on and I don't know, like I was definitely feeling a year ago, I would have been like probably the most anxious I've ever been. And I just remember thinking like, this is all wrong. Like something feels way off. And I just remember thinking like, if I don't name these things that are happening in me, like they're going to like take over soon, which they were. It's like, nobody likes feeling anxious because like you don't feel at home in your own body. You're like something, there's some other spirit at work in me. And so like you just you have to do the work of like naming what's going on in you and calling it out. And like what I would, prayer is so helpful in that of like actually being able to bring it to the Lord and say, I don't want this, like please take it, you know, hand it over to him. But what I was praying with a year ago a ton was that Jesus presents himself as an exorcist more often than we all realize. Like he drives out evil spirits from people's lives. And while I was not possessed by a demon, and I haven't ever been possessed by a demon, there have at different moments in my life, like everyone else, there's sins that take root. There are spirits that are working against me to move me away from God, move me away from the kingdom, move me away from the sacraments, move me away from virtue, from pursuing the good, and all these obstacles come up. So even on my retreat in October, like one of the things that comes up in my prayer a lot is like the lies that I believe about God, lies that I believe about the church, lies that I believe about myself. And when you start believing lies, Satan takes a foothold pretty easily. You know, like if you believe the lie that, people only like me if I do things well. It's like, okay, well then you're going to live a life of perfectionistic misery, hoping that people would like you. You know, it's like, but a lot of people do believe that lie. Like I'm only liked if I do the right things, or, people believe a lie that I'm alone. Like that, just that phrase, like I'm alone all the time. And like, if you believe that, you'll live out a really kind of dark and strange place for all of your life. And, so there are a lot of evil spirits, I think, that wiggle their way into our lives. And maybe why this is coming up for me now, not personally, but kind of from a ministry perspective, is that I don't ever want us to become complacent about how we are, or about what God wants to do in our life. Because I know most of us live, generally speaking, like good and blessed and beautiful lives. But we are not yet, we're not yet in heaven. We're not yet full of the joy and the promise that the Lord desires to give us. And I think we've often become content with, like really, allowing some of these evil spirits to flourish or just to at least live in us. And I think there's something really wrong about that. I think we should scorn a spirit of envy or of jealousy or of anger or of bitterness or of some idolatry that we have, vanity, whatever. Like it, those are evil spirits that the Lord wants to drive out. So I don't know if I have I can imagine writing a talk about this, but currently my thought is not yet so sophisticated enough to be able to like draw out a perfectly planned out outline. So I just wanted to have this conversation to open the floor.
To help you write your talk?
No, I'm not writing a talk or anything, but I think it's important. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Shane and I, on our way back from Mission Taco this afternoon, she mentioned something. I was just sharing with her a little bit about where I'm at with life and things. And she was saying, things seem so much easier when we were kids, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Like something, there's something about becoming an adult or like more mature, just in like how we see ourselves, and you start taking on responsibility of others or things like that. Yeah, there's just a sense of like, because I'm settled in who I am and I can take care of things in my life and as I should, and those are good responsibilities to have, like all these other things that I experience in my normal human experience are just like, it's just how it is, you know, being an adult. Like there's just bad days at work. And so like there are, I'm imagining like the person in corporate America right now where it's like, if you're leading a team, there's just like some people who aren't on the same page, or there's just like stressful days at work that you're describing, or there's like issues with like one kid more than another kid. And that's just like how it is, you know? And so we just kind of feel like all the heaviness that we, experience in our life or throughout our day-to-day experience, it's just like, this is just sort of like the woes of being an adult. 'Cause we're now like woken up to more things that children don't have the opportunity to see, you know? But I really do think what Father's touching on, and I like this topic because it's not so pointed that there's like an answer to it.
Right.
but what you're touching on is like, no, these things that we experience that are actual, like sometimes physical impediments, like we feel it in our body when it's just like heavy or we're anxious or, something is dark, like those aren't meant to be there. And I say that not from a place of like, I don't have them there. It's almost the opposite.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it.
Part of this is it would be better treated as a cross section of mental health and, spirituality. Even when I was at A&M, there's the counselor who's there. He's leaving to start his own private practice. And I was attending their staff meeting and they were asking him, how can we support you as you transition out? Like, is there a way to refer people to you? And he's like, well, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But he says, if people do want a reference, one way that you can vet them is to ask if they want prayer to be part of the process. Mm-hmm. He says, in my practice, I want prayer to be part of the process because it's smoother, it's easier, and it's faster. If prayer is part of the process, if we can make God a part of this. And so I love that. It's like he's a clinical therapist, counselor, and he's doing the real work of being able to help people name the evil spirits that are kind of like living in them. Again, I don't mean demons. I mean spirits of anxiety, spirits of depression, spirits of envy or anger or anxiety, whatever it is. He's having them call it out, and then through prayer and through conversation, intentional conversations, they're able to tease out the lies, the mistruths, and be able to like shine the light of Christ on it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's refreshing because I would imagine like for Catholic counselors and yeah, just certain research I've done, it's like, I almost see it as something where it's like the mental health side of things is not the church. And therefore it's like, if you want to do something related to Catholicism or Christianity with mental health, you have to like, these people are just finding ways to weave in some sort of ideology into mm-hmm. like a scientific practice. Whereas this, it's like, no, it's actually like the whole human person.
Yeah.
Jesus came to redeem, you know, yeah. Mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, and in my mind, it comes out kind of like we were saying, when you're children, we didn't really know much. And then as we grow up, and I think in our stage of life now, we're becoming more self-aware. So you're an adult, you're self-aware, you see that you have these, like these spirits of anxiety and envy and everything like that. And then you have a choice to be a child of God and face those and fully trust in him. Mm-hmm. Or you have the choice of being like a bratty little child and saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep the way I am right now.
Yeah.
Just because, like, being a child, it's like a child with your eyes wide open, and you're like, but I know that God will take care of me. He's like the ultimate father. Mm-hmm. Or you can turn, I guess it would be like Satan or the devil over here, like, no, you're good.
Exactly.
And you're like, okay, I like comfort. I love, you know, these things that don't make me a good person.
Yeah.
Or just keep me trapped.
Yes.
Like, we're so ignorant of it sometimes, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it really is, Jesus is the exorcist who comes in to drive out these evil spirits. And you see that up and down in the Gospels. But one thing, you know, in modern day exorcisms, just like in Jesus' time, one thing that has to be present is that if a person is truly possessed, like, they have to, when they're in a state of mind that they can, they have to willingly submit to what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If the person is so obstinate in their own will, and not the evil spirit's will, but in their own will not to have this happen, then no exorcism could drive it out. You have to allow the Lord to do the work. You actually have to submit to Him. So, like, they're like twin sisters. It's like obedience to God, like listening. That's what the word obedience means, is listening to God. Obedience and freedom come hand in hand. Mm. And so, like, when we're obedient to what the Lord wants to do, and in this case, to liberate us, like, freedom follows afterwards. But what's troubling about to me, what I feel, is that I think people are becoming complacent with these small things that seem trivial for now, but are enslaving us. And maybe they're not huge chains, but they're chains, and they're chains that won't go to heaven with you. And that's why I think the Lord does want to liberate us here and now on earth, so that we can truly experience the Master's joy.
I think it'd be helpful if we, or you, sort of when you're saying spirits, you mentioned like spirit of anxiety or envy. What are you describing as something that's like this heavy thing that we're describing living with? What are some of the spirits that you're speaking of?
I mean, like, I think anxiety and depression would be two pretty heavy spirits that a lot of people, young people in particular, are dealing with these mm-hmm. days.
Idolatry.
We can read, let's just to...
The scripture.
The scripture would be a good jumping off point, but Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul juxtaposes the works of the flesh and the works of the fruits of the Spirit. And he says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality. So imagine lust, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. He says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are deeds. And then he says, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But then he also goes on in Colossians, different letter, again, calling out different deeds. Again, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed. He calls out idolatry. And then I like this list better. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech. And he calls out lying as well. So, like, what exactly am I getting at? Like, what is an evil spirit?
It's like vices.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like it could be a habit that lives in you. I think it's where we end up when we kind of give way to our own passions, our own desires. We're left with this kind of rebellious spirit mm-hmm. in us. But my rebellious spirit is going to be different than your rebellious spirit, because my personality is different than yours. My sins are going to look different than yours. The reasons I do these things are different than yours. And that's why self-aware, self-knowledge is such a helpful word, because, like, only I know, only I can really discover the reason why I do the things that I do. And so one of the biggest things that happens in the gospel around Jesus driving out the demons is that he often names what's going on. He can name the spirit, and then he casts it out. So you and I, as baptized, you know, priest, prophet, and king, one of the kingly roles that you and I have is to be able to name things in our lives and to claim them, to claim dominion over them. And if we can name what's going on in our hearts, then we can basically like banish it from our realm, to speak of like medieval like slang. Sure. Like, banish this spirit from me, Lord. Like, I don't want it anymore. Does that help get at what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking something helpful I've heard with regards to this. Father mentioned explicitly he didn't want to talk about demons, but I can't remember a priest. I was listening to a talk one time, and he said something along the lines of, like, every time you get in a strife with another person, like, or whatever, that anything, like, your interactions with other humans that cause some sort of, like, anger or wrath or malice, or, like, you want to talk bad or some sort of discord, like, they are literally, as human beings, not smart enough to create the level of wrath within you that you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And you are not smart enough as a human being to create and make manifest that reality in their life. So there's something, like, in this interaction between persons that this, like, rotten fruit is coming about. There's something at play that is attempting to stir us up in such a way, without our, like, sight of it, that attempts to, like, draw our souls to hell. And that sounds really dramatic, but I just mean, like, to pull us away from the Lord, to pull us away from charity,
exactly.
from
That's
fruit,
it. That's it.
Peace. And so I so often forget that, because I'm like, my family's just out to get me, or like my husband, blah, blah, blah. I don't say that, but, you know what I'm talking about? Like, and it was so freeing to hear, like, we as human beings are literally not, and not because we're stupid, but we're just like, our creatureliness is not as high to be able to, like, manipulate someone's mind in a way that, like, we're capable of doing to other people. Because it's not actually us that's capable of doing it. It's an evil spirit. Sure. Like, the spirit of anger, which is presiding in a room or in a space that, like, leaves people feeling angry. Or one that I'm pretty sensitive to is, like, whenever there's a conversation going on or a meeting and, like, my chest gets really tight, and in that moment, it's like there's something going, like, the spirit of anxiety is present here, that when I walked in and I wasn't feeling this way, it wasn't that. So, like, how can we in this moment invite the Lord to enter in? But when you live with it for so long, we sometimes think it's just like, well, that's just me. Like, I'm just anxious. And it's like, well, no, like, we're just unaware.
Yeah, and that actually might even be part of your biology, the chemical structures of your brain, and how everything kind of relates to each other. So some of that will continue to like be part of your life, and that's a cross that you have to bear. But if it's undue because of the things that you worry about or the lies that you believe, then that's something that the Lord wants to deliver you from. For example, like, I can imagine a mother who would come into the confessional to me and say, I'm impatient with my kids all the time. And they would confess that. Like, that would be the first thing that they confess. And it's like, well, okay, you keep saying this, you know, that you're impatient with your kids all the time. But, like, let's dissect that. What do you mean? It's like, well, I tell them, you know, to pick up their toys, or I tell them to get their homework done, and then they don't do it. And I get frustrated and I lash out at them. And it's like, I should be more patient. It's like, well, that's like, the impatience is like the end of, it's the fruit of a, it's a bad fruit of a more rotten tree. It's like, maybe, like, let's dig a little bit deeper. Why does that frustrate you so much? It's like, because I'm trying so hard to, like, achieve this thing. Like, I want my kids to be good. And it's like, well, how do you feel when your kids haven't, you know, like, aren't doing what you've told them? It's like, well, I feel like I'm failing. So it's like, oh, now we're getting somewhere. It's like, now you feel like you're not good enough as a mom or something like that, or that you're failing in your vocation. And like, that could be the source of a lot of other sins. Like, that's what's deep in you, is that you don't think you're good enough, or that you are failing, and that there's a lack of trust. And so maybe those are the evil spirits that need to be addressed even more than the fruit of that tree, which is the impatience or something like that. And that's what I'm trying to get at, because, you know, in my, like, truly, like, when I get anxious, I get short with people. I don't really want to do other things. Like, I'll go to my own conveniences, but like the root of it is believing that everything has to fall on my shoulders or something like that, yeah. You know, and that I'm alone and that I've got to figure it out. And then it just manifests sinfully in different ways. Mm-hmm. But there's a deeper spirit in all of that that I need the Lord to help drive out.
Right. I think something beautiful about what you're touching on is this sort of trap that I think most Catholics, including me, oftentimes fall into this of like, when I experience contrition or something's off or like I'm sorry for something and I want to confess it, it's oftentimes from the stance of like, because I know what's right. And it's like, I know being patient is right and I want to be good. And there's just this like striving and like to uphold some moral code, which morals are so important. Don't get me wrong, but even in terms of evangelization, we sometimes take the route of like, we'll do the right thing. Like you should be going to Mass on Sunday and like you should be being a good Catholic and a nice person. And it's like, but actually like when the Lord addresses us, he's not just looking for us to be patient. Like that's a fruit of something deeper. What he wants is like utter transformation from this lie and wound that we believe about ourselves, which we as Catholics, I don't think meet one another there. I think when we're speaking about the faith to other people, we oftentimes meet each other at the like the final end product surface level of yeah. like, are you a good person or are you not? Are you going to Mass or are you not? And it's like, we need to be human with each other, like
yeah.
to dive into these deeper things. And I too, like I fall into that too. It's easy to just like convince myself that I'm doing it because I work for the church and.
Yeah. We judge the more exterior thing.
Yeah. But also we judge ourselves in that manner too.
Yeah. You will know them by their fruits. Like Jesus says that you can judge them by their fruits. But the bad fruit started way earlier. Like there's a stem and there are roots that go into the ground and they're not getting the nutrients they need. They're getting bad nutrients. It's poison somehow or another. And so kind of getting to the core of that. One temptation in all of this, and I'm not even sure that I've expressed myself well, even a little bit, but one temptation in all of this would be to start navel gazing and just start like looking at myself, like just looking at myself and finding all the things that are wrong with me. And you are fundamentally good. Like you're fundamentally good. So everybody, we need to live in that reality that you were created fundamentally good. The Lord loves you. Sometimes there are different bad things that grab hold of us and we need to address those, but like we are fundamentally good. So you don't need to go like on a quest to figure out everything that's wrong with you. Trust me, it will be revealed in time. And so like, you don't need to go seeking these things out. But when you notice that something feels off about you or there's something that like you really don't like or, something's amiss, then start paying attention, you know, cause I think that's really important. Or people say like, people really do this. Father, I come and confess the same sins all the time and they're only seeing the end of the line, but like a good confessor will hopefully dive in with them a little bit and say like, what's behind this? Mm-hmm. But you can do that yourself and start asking the Lord in prayers. Like, why do I always get frustrated with this person in particular? Is it the way that they say it strikes something in me? Like, what exactly is it striking? Like, is it my pride because I feel like they're trying to be competitive and one up me? And so figuring out some of those deeper things. Mm-hmm.
Having Hallie just have her first reconciliation, all the second graders did, always brings me back to that is a good process to realize what your evil spirits are, like just examining your conscience and asking yourself, like, okay, well, do you keep God holy? Is he like first among all other? Well, I may scroll on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram a little too often, so maybe I need work on that. And then, like Father Andrew said, you just keep asking the why. Well, why do I do this? I'm not wanting to do something else. Well, why don't you want to do that thing? And it's like once you start unpacking the whys, you get to the root of why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And so next time you're on TikTok or whatever your spirit is, you just ask yourself, why am I doing this? And the more you own up to it and make yourself self-aware, I feel it's brutal and it really stinks. But, you know, you you're at least giving yourself a pat on the back. Like, I am trying, God. Like, I want to be closer to you, more Jesus-like.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel.
And I find it helpful to even name those things when you're in confession, because it's like one thing to say, oh, I cursed. Yeah. But then, like, there's a lot of times I'll say, like, I cursed because I wanted to draw attention to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that was painful to say.
Yeah.
But, like, name the reason why that's behind it. And a lot of times during confession, too, at the end of the sins, I'll say, and I also want to renounce the spirit of envy. I want to renounce the spirit of vanity. I want to renounce the spirit of anxiety that I've given into, you know, because that's been part of the last 2 weeks or whatever since I've been into confession. Just to be able to name them, because if you don't name them, they in some ways have power over you. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so important to name it so that you yourself can banish it, and that the Lord, you can surrender it to Him too.
Mm-hmm. I'm sort of imagining, like we oftentimes hear, I so love the image of confession as the sacrament of healing, a sacrament of healing, right? Reconciliation. But so often when we're trying to invite people or parishioners back to the sacrament, it's like, how could it ever be healing to like go and air all the things that I'm ashamed of to someone, like to speak about those, right? Like it doesn't make sense in my head, but I'm imagining hearing you guys talk about it. Like if you went to a doctor's office,
right,
and you had some like crazy disease going on and you sat down and you're like, these are all my symptoms. Like this is everything that's happening. These are all my symptoms. And they looked at you and were like, great, go in peace. You know, it's like we didn't address like the cause of anything. Like we spoke about what is manifesting, not like where the actual pain and sickness is. That's why when you get priests in confession who are like, dig a little bit deeper, you know, it's the best. It's the worst, but it's the best. But it's like, so don't treat these spiritual things just like a laundry list of symptoms. Mm-hmm. Like the symptoms are pointing towards something deeper. You know, talk about modern medicine. That's an analogy, right? Like we don't just address symptoms, or we shouldn't.
Yeah,
address the whole person.
Yeah, what's actually taking place.
Mm-hmm.
That way the symptoms go away, not just for a time, but they're healed, they're transformed.
Yeah. I think, too, just to alert people, I think there's an evil spirit in the news media. And I'm not even kidding. I think it's totally present. Like, I literally can't watch the news. Because I get angry and I get anxious. And so I just turn it off. I said, I don't need that in my life. But there's a lot of people who do watch the news and they've become more numb to it. But it's because it actually has more of a hold on them than it has on me. And so I would be very careful about the spirits that you take on, especially in watching the news. Because I generally speaking, think the whole ethos of reporting the news today is anger, anxiety, and fear. And I don't care which side of the political spectrum you're on. I think both of them are feeding off the same thing. And they're imbibing that to you. So.
I agree.
Yeah. And that, but that, like, that's, it has a hold on you. So then you need to surrender it to the Lord. So, I mean, there's heaps of people who come into the, I think there's just a lot of people who are angry right now. And I think you need to forgive whoever needs to be forgiven in your heart, even if that's the president of the United States or somebody, you know, it's like, you need to forgive that person. I don't care if you don't know them. Like the anger is in you. It's not in the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in you. And that anger is an evil spirit and it's not going to go to heaven with you. So you got to do something with it because it's going to drag you and potentially other people to hell. And that's what I mean. Like Jesus wants to drive that out because it shouldn't belong in the heart of a Christian, in anybody's heart. And so we got to start naming these things before they take hold of us. And what I do love, like just being able to name this and present it to you at least a little bit, is conversion. Like it had, like this is the goal. You and I need to be converted. We need to be transformed. We need to have hearts that are open to conversion. And if we let ourselves off the hook for even these small things, we will be closed off from what the Lord wants to do in our life. So, like, we need to be open to conversion. And that was, like, two of the things. This is not an exhaustive list, but I think two of the places that you kind of end up if you don't call these spirits out and don't begin to work on it is, first of all, that we'll just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and push through life. And sometimes we'll baptize our own spiritual ills and become complacent and therefore not open to conversion. And we just kind of live this good enough lifestyle. Mm. And good enough is neither good nor is it enough. And so we can't baptize these things that are evil. Okay? The second place that you'll end up in, like even a year ago, I would have said like I was like going there, is people collapse on themselves. They think themselves a victim, that they're alone, forgotten, and uncared for. And it's like, that's a really dark place, but I think a lot of people are there. And they manifest exteriorly fine, but inside they're literally crying out and desperate for attention and desperate for love and needing a million sources of love. And they'll find it in different places, but they won't find it in the one place that they need, which is the Lord, because they've collapsed in on themselves. And so if that's you, it's like, all right, well, let's just start naming things. Like, what's going on in my life? What do I like? What do I not like? The things that I don't like, how can I present these to the Lord in prayer and just say, I don't want this anymore. And just continue to present it to him and with a vision and a hope for what the good things that the Lord's going to do.
Beautiful. It's timely for me. I'll say that. I don't know when this ever won't be timely, but I don't think there's ever going to come a time where we're not going to need to hear like, no, you are capable of renouncing that which is not of the Lord.
Yeah.
Especially going into Christmas, I'm just like, oh, Lord, you came so that I might have life and have it more abundantly, and you better deliver, you know. But I want to let you deliver. Like, I want to consent to it, but sometimes I don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking about that. Like, if you're listening to this and you're like sad or you're like having troubles, you always got to think about, I was asking myself when I'm going through a hard time, I'm like, okay, why is this happening? Like, I just do the why? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm unhappy because this. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, like we've said, that he has better things for you and he does not want you to be stuck in this. And it may mean surrendering yourself more to him, or it always comes back to trust. But it's going to take baby steps. It's not going to be like, bam, all right, I'm good again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So make sure confession's good, or someone you trust. I always feel like talking about something that's built up in me, I talk about it to like my husband, Greg, and I'm like, okay, well, I feel a little bit better. Cause it's like, I put it out there,
right.
Released it.
Yeah.
And now I can really think about it, hearing it out loud.
Yeah.
And noticing it's not as big as I made it out to be. And that's something simple. And it just goes back to trusting God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think that there are lies that we believe about ourselves, and I'm not sure if this makes sense to typical, like most people who would be listening, but like lies that I've believed about myself at different times in my life are like that I'm generally a burden unless I make myself convenient, right? Like, or that like a lie that I'm not a good student, or like a lie that I'm not a good priest, or lies that, what would be another one? That I don't have the tools that I need to be successful, or like all the, like, and there's a million things that we can believe, and they're really subtle. Like, they're so subtle. But we act out of those things. So it's like, if I realize that those are things that I believe, like I'll act out of the lies, and, there's going to be an evil spirit that has a hold there. So if you can get to that point where you're like realizing what's going on, like I have to do the lie that I have to be fun and enjoyable for people to like me. It's like,
that's exhausting.
Yeah, it's totally exhausting. It would be totally exhausting. So, things like that are really important to call out. And even like on my retreat, I made a list of like the lies that I believe and just 30 things. It was very easy. It was very easy for me. But that's because things that I've thought about for a long time, prayed about. But just calling out the lie isn't enough because the Lord has to bless it. So it's like, let's call out the lie and allow the Lord to speak truth in it. So on the other side of a lie would be a truth. And what's the truth about my identity as a son, my son of God, the father, son of my dad, you know, identity as a priest, my identity as a friend. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, there are two things that the Lord wants to speak to me here, which are good and beautiful and give me life rather than drag me to hell. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we need to be rooted in the truth. And Jesus came as the light of the world. So he wants to scatter the darkness, scatter the lies and fill us with his light.
And it's not going to be easy. Like they're battling for your soul. And
yeah, it's a battle.
So if it's easy for you, you may not be doing it right.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are superficial answers that we'll have. Because like naming it, it feels really cathartic to be able to name these things if you can. It's like, oh, I named it, I'm done. No, you're not. Especially if it's something that's been going on for such a long time. Mm-hmm. Like imagine people whose parents really didn't love them or they were neglected as a child or things like that. And then 30 years later, they're able to name it. But it's like
that was 30
years of love.
That was lost. Or
I was lost. It's mm-hmm. like, and you can't fix that yourself. Mm-hmm. So the Lord's going to have to do a lot of work there. But if you show up and present yourself, he'll do it.
Yeah. Keep showing up for sure.
Melissa, you got thoughts?
Nope.
Yeah. So again, I apologize if this was not coherent.
This is the good stuff.
Or helpful.
We did it.
We found our way to a fire.
Found our way to the fire. And the fire is Jesus. Like he wants to consume it. Mm-hmm. So prayers for you. Pray for the grace of conversion. I was telling Alyssa yesterday, we did small groups with the eighth graders, and one of the girls in my group, I said, what's something that you want to ask Jesus for? And she said, I want to ask Jesus. How'd she say it? I want to want Jesus more than I do. That was her prayer. Like, and I love that.
She wants
to increase her desire to want the Lord more in her life. And I think that's a huge prayer that all of us need to make. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be a saint more. I want to be converted. Like, I currently don't want to be converted because it often feels inconvenient. But, like, I want that. Mm-hmm. And that's a really powerful prayer to make, to have, like, open hands and say, all right, Lord, I want this. Change my heart. Mm-hmm.
Can we end with this prayer that is this Father Toops or
I don't know who wrote it.
Okay.
Is it a prayer?
Well, it's kind of for the listeners to examine their thoughts.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Okay. All right. Ask God to reveal your patterns of sin. Ask God to reveal the attitudes, thoughts, or lies feeding those patterns. Ask God to reveal the root of the attitudes. Be patient. This may bring you back to a pain-filled memory. Ask God to show you where he was in the memory. Ask God to reveal the lies you believed. Ask God to reveal the promises you made because of the lies. And ask God to reveal the truth.
Beautiful.
All right.
Well, folks, have a very happy Thanksgiving next Thursday.
Yeah.
And I know of our prayers for you as a parish staff. The Lord would convert your heart.
Yes.
Set the world ablaze.
Amen.